Welcome to another episode of the Microsoft Spotlight Podcast. Today I'm joined by Raki Sachdeva, which is a name hopefully I got right first time, because everyone knows who listens to this podcast, I am terrible. And John will be joining us a little bit later. So Raki, how are you doing?
I'm very well. It's Friday, so can't complain. Yeah, sun is shining. Beautiful day.
Yeah, Friday's payday for me as well. So yeah, life is good. Life is good. So do you just want to give an introduction about yourself and what you're currently doing?
Yes, so you pronounced my name right. Well done, Andrew. I am Raki Sachdeva, and I am a Modern Work Senior Specialist at Microsoft. So it's a mouthful, but essentially the role is where we as Microsoft talk to customers. In my case, it's central government departments, to talk about future of work with technology. So kind of really working with all of the ministerial departments who run the show for our country, and making sure that we can understand what the departments, what the people working in these departments need to meet citizen expectations and to run our country. So the day really is filled with a lot of customer meetings, both virtual and face-to-face, thanks to Team for the virtual bit. And the conversations range from technical conversation, licensing, to business value, including a lot of not so much fun tasks like internal admin that I'm sure we'll talk about at some point. So yeah, it's a very interesting role at Microsoft, where we get to work with customers and obviously internally forecast to help predict revenue and growth for the business. So yes, that's me.
Yes, because you're one of the people that align to the same government customer that I am. So every now and then, you get an email from me or via Chris or Avlev going, I need a little bit of information so I can get back to them. So, yeah. So, obviously, you know, we do have that rapport already before this podcast, so just thought we could. So, obviously, you've given me your show notes. I've had a good read through. So, you just want to tell me a bit about early life before moving to the UK, because obviously you're not a native from the UK.
Yes, so that's a very interesting question, because I quite passionately talk about this. I come from India, as you could guess. I've been born in a very traditional Indian family in northern part of India, and I've been born in a family which was quite traditional, to the extent where birth of girls was considered a liability. And in my case, I think it was more so because I do have an elder sibling who happens to be a girl. Just thinking about those times almost makes me feel very proud of how far I have come. And a lot of it is because I've been brought up by a very progressive mother who literally left no stone unturned, even though she was pushed and she was forced to think about us, me and my sister, in a ways that we are not gonna bring any ROI to the family, as apparently we happen to be the liability being girls. But she gave us the education, she gave us the upbringing that I personally feel really helped shape both me and my sister's career and made us dream big and think about everything is possible if you put your heart and your mind to it, which is what my mom did when raising us. So I come from India. I spent all my childhood and early part of my teens or prior to 30s in India. I moved to the UK in 2015. The reason happens to be because I got married, another interesting point to the story is the marriage happens to be an arranged marriage. So I met my husband once, our parents decided to get us married, and I think right now where I am is obviously it's been many years now, almost a decade that I've been here, and I am really grateful for our family and grateful for the network that I have built here, and most importantly for our 3-year-old son who's brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, I read that point. That's quite interesting, because I think you're the first guest on who's obviously mentioned about an arranged marriage. And obviously, I know from like an outsider, from not for your culture and background, that sometimes there's a lot of negativity around that and stigmatism. So obviously the fact that you've had a really positive experience and obviously the move to the UK is obviously brilliant.
It's a gamble, and I could say I won the lottery. Not in every way, but every marriage is
Win the
piece
lottery
of
would be
work.
great as well at the same time, yeah.
Absolutely.
Nah, that's really good. I mean, yeah, because yeah, I don't think any of our guests have ever mentioned that. That's their transitioned. Obviously, a lot of it's based together. They wanted to, spread their wings effectively and move from like India, kind of Saudi America, or into like the Nordics. So it's, yeah, it's really interesting, obviously, that your driver was because of obviously getting married and then moving over to the UK.
And I think it takes a lot of courage, and I think it takes a lot of reflection to talk about it, because whether you are moving countries or in fact even moving cities, packing your life, getting out of your comfort zone and moving anywhere does come with its own challenges and setbacks. In my case, I think it was both almost a reshift of personal and professional life. So obviously I came here, I did not know the person I was married to. So getting to know who you are going to spend the rest of your life, if things work out, is again, I think, a very, very interesting. And I think I'm particularly proud of how brave I was. I think I didn't realize it at that point in time. And then professionally, I left my job and I came here, coming to a country where you don't know anyone, you don't know how the job market works, you don't really have a network, you don't really have a support system. I don't have any extended family here. You tend to fall and you tend to go quite deep into fighting that imposter syndrome, the beast that I quite openly talk about, because it starts to take over your mind. You start to feel you don't have a sense of belongingness to the country, you don't have a sense of belongingness, even to the extent that I felt like walking on the street, I was hesitant to talk to people as I felt like my English wasn't really good enough and I'm gonna be made fun of. And even to the choice of clothes that I was wearing, I was really keen on changing my wardrobe. I love colors, as you can see. I'm wearing bright pink today. I love colors. And when I moved here, I saw everyone wearing neutral, black, white, beige, neutral colors. Literally,
That's just our mood generally, that's what it is.
I just thought I need to change my wardrobe to fit in. And I need to get rid of all the colorful palette that I have, which was filled with bright and energizing colors for me. And I spent a lot of time, effort, and money on trying to fit in and buying the type of clothes that I felt like would make me a part of the tribe. So I have done all those things. And like I said, it takes a lot of courage. And I feel like now I'm in a position where I am really comfortable with who I am and how far I have come.
Cool. So let's just touch on that a little bit about what you just said there. So obviously you gave your job in India. So what was you doing in India prior to moving to the UK?
Yeah, so I was working for Microsoft as a contractor in India. So I was working for Microsoft India in New Delhi. And I left my job, I came here. I think I was keen on just getting on the job ladder. So I was thinking, okay, to make a start, I'm going to work in Morrisons, I'm going to work in Tesco's, I'm literally going to do anything to get started. And I really need to thank my husband for helping me realize my potential at the stage where I was fighting the beast called imposter. And allowing me, or empowering me, I should say, not allowing, empowering me to take it easy and to trust the skills and the experience that I have built over the years. So I started by reaching out to a lot of people on LinkedIn. I gave a lot of interviews, landed a job in a company called 8x8, who offer a telephony solution. But I was keen to get back to Microsoft. Andrew, believe it or not, I just knew I had to get back. And I didn't know anyone, and I did not really have the confidence that how I'm going to come back, what roles I am looking at. So I reached out to a lot of people on LinkedIn. I literally sent so many messages on LinkedIn. And my previous manager, a lady called Jillian Naish, she responded to me saying, love your courage, would love to have a chat. And I don't really have any roles, but happy to keep you up to date on what comes up. 6 months later, gave me a job. It was a contractor role in Microsoft customer success team, which was at that point in time, a role that Microsoft was in incubation. And then I think I just worked my way up to a permanent role in 1 year of spending my life as a contractor. So I think I've been on a journey, and the reason that I have highlighted these things is everybody goes through those self-doubts and moments of I am not good enough, or I don't belong here, and that imposter. But I think taking that move, trusting yourself, and really reaching out to your network is what helped me to be where I am today. And that's a message I am really keen on making sure that I say to as many people as I can, really.
Yeah, I was going to touch on that, because obviously I was looking at your job history and going, like, how come you didn't, like, try and find a role before you moved from India over to the UK in Microsoft? And obviously, you know, that just getting over here, getting settled, and then obviously getting a new role, and then always wanting to go back to Microsoft, obviously, you know, it's...
It did.
I think the one thing about Microsoft that I see from an outside perspective is obviously, because they are such a diverse workforce, it is, for anyone moving countries, it's really easy to get reintegrated into the world, because you're going to be meeting people who also may not be from the same country, who are, you know, on a similar setting as you, or may have already done that journey, and obviously there to help you. So I think, yeah, going to Microsoft was probably the definitely one of the best things you could have done.
Thank you. Couldn't agree more.
I'm not trying to put a pitch here for Microsoft, that's all. But I still think, obviously, from a diversity perspective and how they support their staff, from all the conversations I've had in this podcast, you know, I can definitely see the pull and the draw to basically join the business. So what made you actually go into Microsoft in India? What at school made you think, you know, a career in IT and the world of tech was the way he wants to go?
I get asked this question quite a lot, Andrew, and I'm going to try and give you the most honest answer that I can. I completed my bachelor's in commerce, so I've studied commerce, accounting, but I was never really good with numbers. I hated what I was studying, and it's no offense to people who are doing accounting or commerce related jobs. Well done to you for doing that, because I couldn't have done it. I chose that, and I'm going to be completely honest here. I chose that because at that point in time, my personal circumstances, the maturity that I have gained working by being in a family who was financially really struggling, just helped me mature a little bit sooner. And I felt like I wanted to do something to make sure I can bring that financial stability into our family. I was desperate when I was doing my graduation. I do remember talking to professors, talking to my teachers, talking to a lot of counselors, and saying, I just need to find a job because I want to take my family out of that poverty at that time. So my motivation getting into IT or any job that I started at that point in time was I needed money. I needed to make sure that my parents, who were really struggling hand to mouth, and my dad was not very well, it just felt like I wanted to take that load off. And after trialing a couple of things, I've done a job in a contact center. That's where I really started. So I started working for Dell as a customer service agent. And then I have done a variety of other jobs for a brief period of time. But IT somehow at that point in time seemed like a sensible career choice. It started with that financial stability motive. But now, as I reflect on my journey, I think I am too passionate about it, because first of all, it is what has made me into who I am today, Andrew. So I think I am very, very grateful, and gratitude is something that I want to take with me throughout my journey. And it is something that has started to, even quite early on, that gives me the energy, it gives me the purpose that you are making difference in people's life, in how people feel about themselves, how people do their jobs, in my case currently, or how you can make the country better by working with these departments and making sure that they can meet the expectations of citizens. So I do have that passion now, and hence I am part of a lot of forums where, because I want to continue this passion and I think transmit this energy by being an advocate and encouraging young people to follow their hearts and to do the odd stuff, because the growth, the learning that you would do in the period when you are not sure of what's the end goal, it's what is really going to help you to make you into who you're going to be in a couple of years' time. And every experience that you will get, whether working in a call center or doing any job, you can switch your learnings, you can switch your experiences into any professional career that you want to carry on. So you don't exclusively need an IT degree to work for a company like Microsoft, and I am a classic example of it. If you have the passion, if you have the mindset where you are keen to learn and you are keen to work with a wide variety of people and not pretend to be an expert, but learn from each other and take those learnings on that journey, I think you could really be in any profession or any field and be successful.
And I think, obviously, from listening to your upbringing as well, the thing that's really obviously helped you set that stage is obviously having a strong role model in your mum, who, yep, obviously, you know, who basically fought against, you know, the norm, what was the norm in India, obviously, to really find that pathway for you and your sister to basically go out into the world and actually achieve something more than what she could have done.
I think many people would not believe this, but trust me when I say this, and I don't have any memory of it, but it's something that I know for sure because it has been shared by my family. The day I was born, nobody came to see my mom and us in the hospital, just because they were not really pleased with the news of another girl being born in the family. And for weeks, there were conversations that took place in our family about putting me up for adoption. And I can't even imagine my mom fighting or trying to fight that battle and going against the odds to say, no, this is my pride, this is my possession, and this is my baby, and I'm gonna make sure I do everything that I can. So I think, like you said, I owe a huge, huge amount to my mom for being the role model and for really trailblazing and doing everything that she did, fighting those opinions, those kind of, you know, set those mindsets, who really probably did not appreciate. I'm sorry, Andrew, I'm losing words here, but
it's all good.
Yeah, I'm getting emotional, passionate, I think.
I can completely understand, you know, and hopefully because of what your mother did, it then basically shows the rest of the family that, you know, You've gone on, you've achieved, you've moved to the UK, you've done a hell of a lot in your career in a short space of time. That can be an example of what can be achieved. Therefore, anyone who's listened to this podcast who's probably going to be in a similar situation or, is currently going through that can go, wow, I didn't realize that, I can, why can't I push myself and do better with myself?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Nah, it's all good. This is why I love doing this podcast. It's all about the story, you know what I mean? That is a story in itself.
Yeah, I
So.
was really debating how much I want to reveal because this is the side of me. Obviously, you don't talk on a day-to-day basis, and I knew this is going to make me emotional. But no, I do appreciate, and I think the purpose is to make sure everybody listening in, whether it's a male or a female, everything is possible. Again, once you put your heart and mind, and once you make something. Do something that you're passionate about, I think you can achieve the unachievable.
Yeah, and obviously, I know that obviously you work with two of the previous guests to be on this podcast. Chris, obviously, recently, and
Yeah.
Avlid was on last year, and she's going to
Yes.
be doing a guest slot for me for International Women's Day. And obviously, how they speak about obviously the allyship, the support about women in tech, for your team is just, amazing.
Yeah. I wouldn't be where I am, Andrew, and I am saying that very honestly. Without the network and the support system that I have around me today, like you said, in a short span of time, I very quickly realized that to fight this battle, to really move forward with my life in this country and to establish myself, I can't do this alone. I need allies. I need network of people, whether it's friends or whether it's a professional network. And I'm very lucky and I'm very fortunate that I found my tribe today. I have such a fantastic network of customers, partners like yourself, and colleagues like you mentioned, Chris, and a lot of other members of my team who are keen on making others successful, who are keen on making sure that they can. And there is, I think, the beauty of this is when you have that allyship and when you have that network, you are not fighting who's going to be on the spotlight battle. You are making sure that everybody is basking in the glory of success and everybody's successful in what they are doing and really finding their passion. So I get so much energy by talking to my customers about some of our personal passions, about how do we innovate together, how do we celebrate even small wins and really reinvent the culture, because I think that is what really helped me when I was struggling with things in my life. And I just want to make sure an ecosystem and it gets created, whether it's in Microsoft or in outside organization, that everybody feels the same and gets that support. So yeah, I'm quite pleased that we have got that network.
Yes. So networking is massively important. So when I very much started out in the world of IT, it wasn't really a thing as such. I started out as an apprentice, worked my way through desktop support, server support, and it wasn't then until I then met someone who was working in the Microsoft community who then opened my eyes to the art of the possible. So that's when I then started really pushing myself and doing things. And I don't know if I've ever said it on this podcast before, but in the past where I was involved in another podcast called the UC Architects, I always felt very much the imposter syndrome because everyone involved in that particular team I massively respect. They've career-wise, they were all massively above me in the knowledge that they knew. And I always felt that I couldn't join the episode and give my thoughts and my opinions because, I wasn't the same level, same power as them. So I think in the time they did, I think it's about 60 odd episodes. I think I only featured on two, and they were very small parts. I think then me then doing the editing in the background was what me one way of keeping my foot in there, but then going, well, I know all these people now. What can I do with that knowledge? What can I do with that network? And that's when I then looked at how I can basically set up a user group. I think my very first user group session I had someone flying in from the Netherlands to basically come and speak. That just shows the power of building a network because, if I didn't have that, why would they jump on a plane, fly over and come and deliver a session for someone that one they've never met and don't even know, obviously, the cost of it as well. So, you know, networking is massively important. And anyone that, you know, who lives in any country, like, go to your local meetups, go to your local conferences, and you'll soon, you know, flourish. I mean, an example of that is on this podcast, John. You know, soon when me and him got talking about this podcast, when he's interviewing me, and then when we start doing the podcast, he then started going, oh, you know, I want to do more, I want to do this. And then he started going to events, and I was there as well. And then after that, he started making friends. And then he's on his podcast a million times that, you know, he's the quiz champion now for so many different conferences in the UK with all the people that he's made friends with from going and just introducing himself.
No, and I think you've hit the nail on the head. Networking is so, so important, especially in today's hybrid work era. So many people are kind of, you know, working in the comfort of their home, but taking out that time to join these forums, whether it's in person or at times online, I think are so important to diversify our perspectives. And another thing that, if I can add to what you have said, John, that's really important is storytelling. I take a lot of time to share learnings, whether it's my professional learnings or personal learnings or my own life experiences on LinkedIn. And it is so amazing, John, to see the response and to see the impact some of these personal stories have on people, and how sometimes it really changes people's perspective on certain things, like we were talking about this morning on anything being possible. Getting the what keeps me going is obviously as I am broadening my network, I find it really helpful because I keep getting lots of ideas, lots of thoughts from different people, which really help me to get better. But also getting messages and comments when I get from people, it could be for simple things like, how did you even create that video? Or it could be simple things like, do you know how I can get started with AI? It just feels like you are here to make a difference, and you are making a difference. And that's what I find it really, really energizing. And that's what I think is really important in this world, to make sure that we can help. Everybody is going through something or the other. Everybody is going through unique life experiences. And sharing those and making others learn from your experiences, I think it's so powerful. And it's as humans, we are blessed and we are very fortunate that we have an ability and art to do it. No AI in the world is ever going to replace it. So I think I love doing it alongside networking, and I'm sure it's quite valuable, as you would agree.
Yeah, definitely. So with your obviously journey into the world of Microsoft and speaking in front of government customers, what skills do you think you've learned since leaving India and coming to the UK that basically helped you in that journey?
I think the most important thing so I started with customer success, which is basically a role that Microsoft created back in 2015 to make sure that whilst we are helping our customers to look at new technologies and to deploy these new technologies, we are also working with them on how they are going to drive a culture that's going to quickly adopt these technologies. So it's almost looking into looking at the technology with a cultural lens, how organizations can rewire their culture, that people across the organizations feel part of that journey. And where I think what that role helped me game is customer obsession. You can't really make a customer successful unless you understand their pain points, their challenges, their unique approach, or their unique obstacles, which could be technical obstacles, or it could be kind of how hardwired the culture is, which is quite common in government organizations, right?
Obvious.
So Yes.
Yes, it is. You need to understand everything about the government customer,
Yes.
because, say, they might be running stuff that's a million years old, and if you don't understand it, then you're going to struggle.
Yeah, and to do that, you need two things. You need that obsession that you want to understand what customers are trying to share with you, and you need that inquisitiveness, that growth mindset, that insatiable curiosity to make sure you are asking the right questions. So it has helped me get deeper with customers. It has helped me to start asking right questions to the customer, because I think that's an ability that in every role we need, making sure that we are asking the right questions. And number three, I think it has helped me learn so much about customers, government in general, and the different mechanics of how things work that has really helped me transition quite beautifully into the solution sales role, which is very different to customer success. I kind of get this from my manager, from my last manager quite a lot. You are in sales, so you almost have to rewire a little bit your customer obsession DNA, but I am hardwired now. I just feel like I will live my life with that obsession, and it's embedded in my DNA.
Is that one of the things I was doing as well? So I've been going through your LinkedIn, and I can actually see you post quite a lot about, you know, Copilot, because that's the way you're currently focused on, and obviously all the sessions that you're doing. But also, there was one very important picture you posted about a month ago. It's okay. On TVP. Is that with your mum and dad?
Yes, that's a picture with my mum and dad. They were here visiting us last summer, and I took an opportunity to show them our offices. They were beaming with pride, Andrew. Yeah.
That's good. I'll say, you know, that is obviously, you know, a life memory that you're obviously always going to have, because, you know, especially from moving from another country to here and them coming over and actually seeing what you do and what you, you know, where you're working, and then being, you know, as you say, incredibly proud. That's the biggest achievement that, you know, anyone wants from their parents, them always to be proud of you.
Yeah. So my mom and dad, they don't speak English. They came here because obviously I wanted them to be here, and we spent a month visiting places. And number one thing on their bucket list was, we want to see your office, especially my mom. She was so keen on making sure that we take out that time, do an hour up to TVP and see our offices. And I think that was a very pride and a precious moment for me. That's always going to stay with me throughout my life. But after going back from here, my mom, who's not very digitally savvy, she took help from one of our neighbors, and she created a LinkedIn account for herself so that she can watch my post. And every time I post something, she's giving me feedback on how to improve, which I really, really appreciate, because even though she has never worked in a professional or a corporate setting, her feedback is so spot on, and it really helps me to improve over time. But she also asked me, what can I write on your LinkedIn post? Because I thought that was good. And I think that is
that's amazing.
Really,
that is.
That is so brilliant. She takes out time, and I'm like, Mom, you need to stop visiting my LinkedIn profile, because I get that message that you do it 10 times a day.
That's like a new version of a Facebook stalker, isn't it, really? I mean...
Oh, thanks, John.
That's brilliant. I mean, as you say, she don't speak English, but then she's then watching your stuff to, you know, try and see how she can go and do this and improve there.
Yeah.
That's mental. That is.
Her feedback,
I love that story.
Her feedback most of the times is on a video about the body language, or kind of more on the stuff that is not technology related or post related. But I just love how she takes out time and always tells me, I don't know what you posted about, but I really like the story, and these are the bits I didn't like in the video. And I just think that's impeccable. Like, I don't know whether I would do it if somebody is posting it in another language that I am not getting even a slightest understanding of. But yeah, well done to her for doing that.
Right. So obviously, now you spoke obviously a lot about the present and what you're currently doing. So let's talk about a bit of the community stuff. So I know that you're very much passionate about women in tech. So let's talk about what you do outside of Microsoft to support that.
Sure. So I'll start with our global women in tech community, that is Microsoft. So the reason I joined that community is obviously because I wanted to be connected to like-minded people. I wanted to make sure that I'm not the only one who's questioning myself or who's questioning how to deal with certain situations or how to get a seat on the table. Because trust me, I might make it sound easy, but these last few years, there have been so many incidents that intentionally or unintentionally, that has made you feel that you don't really belong here or you don't really deserve a seat here. I don't know whether it's to do with my ethnicity or anything to do with my color, but I think as a woman of color, a lot of us are in similar situation. I particularly remember an incident, and I appreciate it's not really answering a question, your question right now, but I do remember an incident that I think it was just a couple of years ago. So a couple of years in of me being in Microsoft, going into a customer meeting and going into a customer location, decided to meet my colleague ahead of the meeting to make sure we are prepared on the flow and kind of agree on how we're going to run the show. And this is the first time I am meeting this colleague in person. So I am there. I walk into reception and I see this colleague. And being me, being the energetic and kind of, you know, enthusiastic me, I go in and I greet the colleague, and I just say, so what are we going to do? Let's have a plan. And the colleague literally looks at me and says, can you not see that I am working on something important? And I am just, I don't know whether I really wanted to get buried in the ground, because I just thought, did I say anything wrong? Yeah. And then I started getting everything in my head. It's because maybe you are not senior enough. It's because maybe you are not good enough, or it's maybe because you shouldn't be here. And at that moment, Andrew, I literally fought to hold back my tears. And I decided I'm going to fight this. I don't know how I got the confidence or the energy. I still don't know, Andrew, but I stood there and I said, I'm just trying to remember the words. I said, nothing gives you the power to talk to me like this. We are here for a reason. Microsoft has hired me for a reason, you for a reason. Let's just make sure we work together if we want to make this successful. I was shaking, but doing that and standing up for myself made the rest of 2 hours with customer so much more useful, so much more powerful. And the respect of the colleague that I gained throughout those 2 hours was something that I think was so needed for me to feel like I belong here. Yeah. And I think I still remember towards the end, the colleague coming to me and saying, I do apologize, but I was struggling with XYZ personal issues. Hence, I behaved that way. And I said, next time, just remember you are not entitled. So you shouldn't be really talking to anyone in that matter. Let's forget it and move on. And I really applauded myself. I said, well done you for doing it, but you don't do it all the times, right? There are situations, there are circumstances where you don't even have that courage to stand up for yourself. But that one episode has made me realize nobody else is going to stand up for you. You have to do it for yourself. And I have seen the benefits of doing it, because it instantly helped me feel better, gave me the energy that I needed in that meeting to run that show.
That's a good story. So, you know, on this podcast, we've heard many different issues that women have had when going into meetings. And it's obviously, it is having that confidence to, you know, really, I'm here. This is what I can provide. This is what I can offer. Yeah. And then just going out and then smashing it.
And sorry, I'm going to come back to your question now. So
it's all right.
But yeah, this just came to my head. So I am an active participant, and I work across women in tech global community. And I love that community, because what that community is, it's obviously a lot of women. So you don't really have a personal connection with everybody, but you do have external agencies who come in and talk about topics like how do you write a powerful connect, which is almost like your performance development plan, or in some cases almost like a success plan for what you have achieved and how far you want to go. Or topics like how do you negotiate for what you deserve, how do you kick off a powerful introduction, the importance of body language, and how to not use words like I just want to say this, or I just want to take a moment to convey my message to you, because that really diminishes your power. So I do love that community and the learnings I get from there. This fantastic woman, Jenna Lange, from Lange International, who hosts that community. And I absolutely see a lot of value. So anybody from Microsoft listening in, I would really, really encourage them to be part of that community. We have talked about LinkedIn, so I really use the LinkedIn community to connect with our partners and with our customers. And again, I am amazed at the opportunities it provides you when you start to open up a little bit and start to share more. Because sometimes I just feel like the opportunities that I get, whether it's speaking opportunities or whether it's to be part of something as fantastic as being a panelist in discussions around International Women's Day, I wouldn't have had those if I wouldn't have really invested in creating my brand. So I think that's really, really important for everybody to think about: what is your brand? What are you here for? And how do you want to share that brand with the world? I'm still a work in progress. I haven't mastered the art of it or what it is, but there's no perfection or there is no end goal. I just want to get better at it by learning through others. And I learn so much when I go on there, when I see other people talking about their own challenges or other people talking about their personal stories. There's so much that resonates that we sometimes undermine. So that's really important. And then I am part of some communities, whether it's now AI communities through our customers, or women in tech communities within some of my customers' organizations. I was just talking about it with a customer yesterday in preparation for International Women's Day. So again, it's not part of my core job, but what I love is it empowers me to be a better version of myself, because that is what gives me the energy. And that is what makes me feel like you are here for a purpose. And if my journey or if my experiences can help shape even one person's journey or give them the confidence that they need at the stage of life they are, I think that's a job well done.
Yeah, so it's the same kind of thing I said about this podcast. You know, if one episode has helped one person in a situation where they feel that they're experiencing similar life experiences to someone on the podcast, then, you know, I've done my job, because, you know, they've listened to someone who's basically been through it and then come out the other side and then is progressing really well, because, you know, everyone on this podcast has come from somewhere, and where they're heading to, you know, it's completely up to them. And then everyone that's basically said on here has always spoke passionately about the next thing, that their passions, you know, what really drives them forward, especially when it comes to, you know, working in this industry.
No, and thank you for doing what you do, Andrew. I know it's not easy. It's quite demanding, because it's not just doing the episode, but also making sure that
editing,
you're
taking on that. Yeah, chasing editing. People down.
Exactly. And so there is a lot of work that happens in the background. So huge well done to you, and kudos to everybody else who's part of the Spotlight team, because I think, again, it's very inspirational. It's bringing the human side of people who work in technology. So it's almost like humans of technology. You get to see the real struggles or the real version of who these IT professionals are. And none of those are perfect. None of those are perfect. And everybody almost had that squiggly career, if not. So it's just picking up on what resonates at the version of life that you are in and seeing how you can really take those experiences, soak in the best part of the learnings, and see how you can use them to shape your own career and shape your own journey.
And so one of the things you have shared, obviously, in the last 5 minutes is obviously the thing about brand, but basically building a brand for yourself and then getting it out there is one of the biggest things you can do. It's the way, obviously, you will get recognised. You will then start climbing that tree and getting more connections because people be like, wow, they're an expert in this. Therefore, you know, I'm going to follow that person more. And then it just a spiral. Once you've got that brand nailed down, you know, from a community perspective, you'll just basically fly.
Yep. No, spot on.
Cool. Right. So we're getting close to the end of the show. I mean, let's finish up on what does the future hold for you?
Oh, that's a very interesting question. I wish I was an astrologer to know what the future holds.
So do I. But the lottery numbers would be great as well.
Yeah, exactly. So I think the short term or the medium term goal is making sure I hit my target, I do my numbers, and I'm having an impact in the customers that I'm working on. So that's definitely the case. But talking more seriously about it, I'm still a work in progress, Andrew, if I can say that. I am still shaping or working on where do I want to land in 10 years' time? I do know there are certain things I want to achieve, which are going to help me get to the stage I want to be, which is moving into a leadership role. And again, I know that's a very broad term, but I do see myself into a leadership role in the next few years. I get a lot of inspiration from people like Indra Nooyi. I'm not sure if you have heard of her, but she's the former chairman and CEO of PepsiCo. And one of the things that she talks a lot about is performance with purpose. It's doing your job and doing your job in a way that it is leading and it is taking you closer to the purpose, and it's really having an impact not just on the work that you are doing, but also more broadly on the society and more broadly on the people that you're working with. And I feel like I really want to uncover that for myself, which I feel, like you said, through that storytelling, through working with customers and through learning from others, I am getting closer and closer to. I want to hone on my storytelling abilities, which I think, again, as you have already said, they are very, very powerful. And it's a skill that AI would never be able to replace. No, absolutely. And I think this is where I want to make sure I continue with that customer obsession. I keep building that human connection. And I strive towards becoming a better version of who I am today. And then I think you have so many opportunities working for a company like Microsoft. You are in a really good position because you are not limited to a particular type of role. There are so many opportunities available. You could, tomorrow I could move into or have a plan to move into HR if I feel like, or into finance if I ever get that accounting inspiration back. But there are so many different aspects and so many different roles available that I don't want to really limit myself and define a particular role that I want to move it to. So I'm keeping it open. However, I am going to work on honing on the skills which are going to be core to success of any role that I go into, which is that customer obsession, that learning mindset, that human connection, and that storytelling. So no, it doesn't 100% answer your question, but like I said, it's work in progress.
Yeah. And so We had Mia Rodriguez on from Microsoft Corporate, and obviously she is a storyteller for Microsoft, and obviously the way she comes across, the way she was basically telling us how she delivers her message, you know, it's something that, you know, both me and John said, like, you know, it's something that we kind of would like to learn a little bit more of. I keep meaning to go and buy a book. So, you know what, in the show notes, I'm going to put a link to her latest book that people can go and buy themselves as well.
Yes, yeah, Miri is brilliant. Yeah, I have spoken to her on many occasions. And yeah, I think I'm looking forward to reading her book as well. So yeah, thank you for the mention.
No worries. Right then, I'm going to wrap it up there. So thank you for joining me today. I mean, John hasn't made it because, you know, customer life and work and all that kind of stuff, you know, does hold you back at times. But yeah, thank you for joining me today and sharing your story.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you for your time. I really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you for inviting me.
No problem.
Thank you for listening to the Microsoft Spotlight podcast. Please make sure you hit that like, share and subscribe button to help us promote our message. You can also follow us on Twitter at MSFT Spotlight, and we're also on LinkedIn, the Microsoft Spotlight podcast. And finally, we'd like to tell you a little bit about BitTitan and thank them for sponsoring this podcast.
Remote migrations start here. Let MigrationWiz do the work for you. It's fast, secure, and 100% SaaS, which means you can migrate at any time and from anywhere. Migrate mailboxes, documents, public folders, personal archives, or even Microsoft Teams with just a few clicks. No special training needed, and no customer downtime. When the work matters, choose MigrationWiz.